Campus FM presents The Probe, produced and presented by Monique Chambers. Welcome to this week's edition of The Probe with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Dr. Mario Frendo from the School of Performing Arts. He's a lecturer here in theatre studies. So what does a lecturer in theatre studies actually involve? Do you get to be on stage all day?
Hello, Monique. Thanks for the invitation. No, actually, our stage is the lecture room. So we're not on stage all the time.
Okay.
No, but it's interesting. I'm a performer myself, and I come from music. I played as a professional musician for around 18 years before I came to academia. It was pure coincidence how I finished off lecturing theatre before I came to university. In fact, I was never interested in theatre. So how it happened, I came to, after years in the orchestra playing violin and viola, I decided to go into academia. I wanted to study. I wanted to develop more my understanding of music. Came to university, I had to choose music and something else, and that something else was theatre. Only to realize during the 3 years that I spent here that I'm actually loving it. Music I had studied before, I said, this is interesting. I have another area now which I'm completely new to, and it's leading me to some new and different understandings, which I didn't know, and knowledge which I didn't know before. And the interesting thing is that it was actually impacting on my understanding of music.
Okay.
Only to finish focusing more on theater while I was here rather than music, of course, because music I had studied. So in my case, I didn't spend a lot of time on stage with respect to theater. I'm not an actor myself, although I did have experience in acting, and I did perform some productions, but I can't consider myself as a professional actor. However, I do study theatre, and I'm more involved in, for instance, the direction of theatre when it comes to contemporary approaches, like, for instance, physical theatre and devising performance, that is, creating works that are not based necessarily on pre-scripted material like dramas or plays.
Okay, explain that a bit further for us.
So, devising performance. The best way to explain it, this would be if I had to use the example of jazz improvisers.
Okay.
Okay, so a jazz musician, a group of jazz musicians, they do have an idea of what they are going to perform, of course. It's not just they go there. However, they do not have a fully scripted piece of music, mm-hmm. like, for instance, orchestra musicians usually have when they are performing, I don't know, a Beethoven symphony or a Verdi opera. So a jazz musician would know that there is a tune that they will start with, but where they are going to take that tune, it depends usually on the mood, the technique, the space, the time, the audience. So it is. So this is an area, a territory, which contemporary theatre has been venturing into for the past, we can say, 2 to 3 decades. It's a very interesting area where you do not necessarily develop performances based on a Shakespeare text, mm-hmm. or any other, a Chekhov or a Moliere, but you work with performers, go in a space and start creating works based on ideas, movements. So here there are a lot of interesting, and this actually was exactly down my line, because what I wanted to do was to bring together music, which I had studied before, mm-hmm. and theatre, which was the new thing that I was.
So is it something, you know, someone literally walks on stage and says something and somebody else comes in and joins, and they can take a play to
yes,
anywhere?
Of course, it's not that you go on stage, because that would be pure anarchy and probably it will lead nowhere. But yes, the idea is that you develop structures within which you can actually, in inverted commas, improvise pieces of performance. Usually okay. There are rehearsal periods, of course. I mean, it's not...
Okay, so it's still rehearsed.
Yes.
I was just thinking it compares to my cooking sometimes. I go in okay. And it's completely unrehearsed. Something just gets thrown together. And anyway, so tell us a bit more about the theatre lecturing.
Yes, so it's interesting because... theatre studies as an academic field is quite young, unlike other fields of academia, like the old humanities were part of the humanities. Languages, the study of languages, music, for instance, which is one of the oldest humanities. There are what we're calling today the new humanities, so therefore areas of academic research that were previously not considered as relevant to investigate academically. Music is one of theater is one of them, actually, and also recently dance. So what happened is that, and this is interesting because in the case of theater, for instance, as an academic research, theater emerges towards the beginning of the 20th century. We can speak of the turn of the 20th century. And it's interesting because what was happening there at the turn of the 20th century with theater was that people involved in theater were arguing and saying that their art is an autonomous art form, like a musician's art is an autonomous art form, and should not be related to literature and drama.
Okay.
And they were saying, why should our art be only relevant if it has a great author behind it? So there was this shift slowly, which started, in a way, it was interesting because there were people claiming that, listen, what we're doing is not simply imitating the work of other great people, but mm-hmm. But also a new awareness started emerging with respect, eventually, during the 20th century, of to what extent, for instance, we can ignore the fact that Shakespeare was an actor, not only a writer.
Yes.
Or, so all these things were eventually developed into an actual field of study, which also led, in return, to perhaps more respect to an art form that before was considered as secondary to other art forms. So what we do is, this developed, it started in Germany and in Britain, and then eventually it developed all over Europe and the West mainly. I'm saying the West because other cultures, of course, do have theater aesthetics, which in some cases were studied before us. So, Japanese theater, Chinese theater, they were more aware of the West and did study and wrote about theatrical activity.
Okay.
In the West, it started a bit later. And what happens is, what we do is we look at texts of great authors, of course, like Shakespeare, Chekhov, and the tragedies of ancient Greece and the Roman theater, more as performance activities rather than as pieces of literature. So this would be a main difference between when, say, an English department studies Shakespeare or a theater department studies
the same piece.
A play of Shakespeare, exactly.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We would look more into the problems related to how a piece is performed. So, why did Shakespeare develop the dramaturgies that he developed? How was Shakespeare dealing with problems of space? For instance, what is interesting is that Shakespeare, in Shakespeare's time, they never had any scenery. And today, we perform Shakespeare's plays with stages full of scenery and these are interesting things which sometimes lead also to a better understanding of. Then we look at the work that actors do, very similar to when we look at the work that musicians did in the past. How did Beethoven develop certain techniques? Not because he thought only of a musical line, but also because he was able as a performer to push performance techniques further, and that probably also led to him developing better works, better symphonies, better ideas. So all this, and then through this type of investigation, it leads to better understanding of the areas that you... Then what happened towards the end of the 20th century, in the 70s, mm-hmm. in New York, a new idea of the study of performance developed. And that is even an even more recent area of research, which is very much related to theater, but is not only limited to theater and performances on stage, but it spills over even to activities that people do in what is almost considered as everyday life. But
no. Social media, we're all actors today, aren't
exactly,
we?
Exactly. So that would be an aspect of performance research.
Okay. And is that something that you look into, the sort of social media impact on...
Yes, absolutely. No, yes, absolutely. Of course, there you start venturing into other territories, which is interesting, because at this point and then the research starts becoming more interdisciplinary, where you obviously look at different disciplines mm-hmm. to see how they impact on each other. In this case, you're venturing into media studies, but also social studies, and also philosophical and psychological most of the time. But yes, it's definitely important how, for instance, especially certain political shifts that we're noticing at the moment are most of the time the consequence not only of directly developed ideologies, but most of the time of how the media is shaping certain activity. So not necessarily based on newly developed ideologies, but images that are being created and how certain people perform in front of audiences.
So like politicians...
Yes, absolutely.
Not just actors per se, sort of.
Of course. I mean, it is a known fact that politicians do take classes of behavior in front of audiences.
Not all of them.
Yes, of course. Not all of them do.
Or it's not obvious at all.
Not all of them do. But what is interesting, no, is this, actually, because what we study with in performance mm-hmm. is how we behave in non-everyday life situations.
Okay.
So, of course, if I'm speaking to a friend of mine and having a glass of wine or having a chat, you don't do certain things. But if you are thinking, working on an interview, you have to immediately, for instance, that is a good example, start mm-hmm. thinking of a particular behavior. How are you going? As we said, politicians, let's say that the professional ones, let's put it this way, do take this seriously, and we know that there are actually people that are trained to train speakers. And this is, there are examples in history. Cicero used to tell orators at the Roman Senate, if you want to convince others, first be convincing yourself. And the best way to do this is to go and see what actors do. Now, actors were not exactly in Roman times the highest in society, but still, Cicero suggests that to lawyers and orators. Mm-hmm. So there is this aspect of even public speaking, for instance.
No, I was going to say, because even in a boardroom scenario, if you could actually channel your inner actor, you'd be able to actually
Absolutely.
Speak up and make yourself heard. So what else do you, or what other areas of research are there? Because it's quite a different interview to what I thought it was going to be. So it's what else is researched in theatre?
Okay, so for instance, in my particular case, because I come from music, then of course you do your undergraduate degree. I went on to study music composition for my master's degree with Maltese composer Charles Camilleri, and still there I thought that I'm going to continue as a musician. However, then for my PhD I thought it would be good to combine music and theatre and go for something more substantial in terms of looking for different and possibly new directions. Okay. And that helped me a lot, because actually what I started noticing was that in the theatre field, because music comes with a grammar itself and you have to have access to it in order to know it, I was finding that I could delve into territories that non-musicians would usually not have access to. So I started playing around with this idea of combining the different knowledges that I had because of the different territories that I'm putting together, and trying to do something, trying to get a direction out of these combinations. That led to interesting research, because, I don't know, for instance, I started looking at the possibility of developing dramaturgies in theatre which are not related to, as we were saying before, pre-written texts. Uh-huh. Now, usually a dramaturgy is thought of as a written text, and therefore I had to start afresh by trying to reconsider a notion of dramaturgy not as a written text, mm-hmm. through my understanding of music. Where did this lead me eventually? It led me to read for a PhD on the subject, which I called musicalized dramaturgies, mm-hmm. developed performances in this respect. I was noticing that I was not the only one heading in this direction, because you know how there is, like the Germans call it, the Zeitgeist, the what people are thinking at the moment. And only yesterday in the Times Theater I read this article about dramaturgies beyond dramaturgy, and I said, interesting, because now this is actually becoming popular reading, because when something gets to a newspaper, it's not research exactly anymore, but people are actually looking. Of course, this is not because I started doing this research, but because that was the thinking at the moment that was going on. That is, we're talking about 5-7 years ago, during this decade.
Okay.
But there is this need to look for alternative, let's call them alternative practices, where it comes to performance. People want to, at the end of bottom line of all this, is to create spectacle that people enjoy.
In fact, we were discussing off air actually that we're getting more and more leisure time, and mm-hmm. we need to have more and more to fill it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, yesterday I was talking to a friend of mine about the combination of Asian and Mediterranean fusions when it comes to food, and how chefs look at, okay, now what's all this? It's creating alternative ideas for people to enjoy themselves. We entertainment is what people look for. I mean, it's what you don't really need, but you can't do without it. We don't only eat bread and butter. We look for other experiences when it comes to food. It's not because we need them, because without them we can't. But of course, they are also important for us. We want all to live better lives, no? And this is, in a way, what we research and look at. And then its impacts more concrete and practical things, like we were saying, like when it comes to politics, mm-hmm. and other aspects.
Even chefs, in fact. I'm just thinking celebrity chefs, yes. are very, you know, performance artists in themselves, aren't
if
they?
If you see what is happening at the moment with the Gordon Ramsays and these programs on television, when cooking is becoming performance, mm. yes, it's exactly that.
It's
And this is not only something that was happening now. For instance, in the Middle Ages, apparently, they used to, and this, I came across it through studies and performance, they used to produce foods, like, for instance, meat prepared in a way that looks like fruit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, in fact, the mince pie, it's coming from there. What is it called? The filling of the mince pie.
Mincemeat, in fact.
Mincemeat, yes, in fact. That's coming from the Middle Ages. And this scholar last time was presenting a study in a conference on how, in itself, this is a kind of performance where you hide something behind something else in order to give the, in this case, the person who's going to eat it, the surprise of discovering that this is actually not a, and apparently there are actually restaurants in London where they are cooking this type of medieval food.
So in your research, what differences have you found between drama and theatre?
Drama, in fact, I guess you're asking also because of the amount of drama schools that we have on the island, and usually in Malta, the term we use colloquially, let's put it this way, is drama, and by drama we mean theatre.
Okay.
It's interesting because that is something that comes from our colonial past, because drama actually is a term very much used in Britain. In fact, in Britain, usually you find the drama departments in universities, and drama is studied originally in language departments. So what's the difference here? Drama, it tends to focus more on texts related to theatre. Okay. That's why it is studied initially in English, in language departments. So you can have drama texts in Italian, usually in the department of Italian, texts in French, etc., etc. In Malta, we never had a drama department at university, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. It always started as a theater studies department in 1989, celebrated 25 years, in fact, last year. Well, and it's interesting because, of course, our education system is very much influenced by British systems. Mm-hmm. But in this case, probably because of the first academics in theatre that were teaching in Malta did not study in the UK, that led to this. However, we are aware of this, and we work very closely to drama schools in Malta. But the difference would be this, essentially. Drama is generally more related to written texts, mm-hmm. and theater would be the broader side of it, therefore studying also the behavior of actors, mm-hmm. Performers, the building of theaters, what architectures and the designs are being developed, how did theater building change over time, and then of course we look also at the study of the histories of theater development. It's amazing how the study of history helps you to develop better knowledge, and your learning improves considerably when you are aware of historical development. It's something which you realize when you actually go through it. And so that would be an aspect that we deal with. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, theories that developed. What is the difference between, for instance, the way we are looking at the examples we were mentioning before, devised performance, mm-hmm. Or what type of aesthetics were used in Elizabethan England when Shakespeare was writing his most famous plays. And then, of course, the practice of it. So, the theory, the theories, histories, and practicalities, praxis of what actually actors do. What we are not is an acting school.
Okay. Yeah.
So, we do not train actors. We train people to think and be conversant about theater and performance. This is important because you cannot become an actor really in 3 years that you spend at university. like a musician, you need to, it's constant, constant work and constant preparation, and usually it takes longer. Of course, here we're speaking about professional environments. Musicians start studying their instruments from a young age,
yes,
and they spend long hours of training. Dancers do the same thing, they have to spend, and actors have to do the same thing if one is aspiring for a professional career in the art. So this is extremely important. You can't become an actor like you can't become a musician in 3 years, you can't become an actor in 2 years. So we focus more on the study of the activity,
okay,
not the actual activity itself.
Because there is actually quite a lot of talent in Montrose. When I moved here 10 years ago, there was probably 2 theatres to choose from, and now it seems every weekend you've got 2 or 3 performances to choose from,
yes,
and
you
actually miss out on stuff because the calendars are all on top of each other.
No, absolutely. In fact, the theatre activity in Malta is extremely...
fertile,
diverse. Absolutely agree with you.
No, I really enjoy it, and look forward to hearing more from you and your students. That's Dr. Mario Frendo from the School of Performing Arts here at the University of Malta. Thank you for listening.
You have just listened to The Probe, produced and presented by Monique Chambers.